Luke chapter 24, please, verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all those things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, so that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? The one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? He said unto them, What things? They said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe after all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And he drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. They went in to tarry with them. It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. Verse 50. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. It came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them, carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. This lovely chapter presents to us our risen Lord. The Lord is risen. You can write that over the first 13 verses. Then the Lord is revealed, verse 14 to verse 44. And the Lord is recognized, and eventually received up into heaven. There are 7 little pictures here of the Lord I'd like to leave with you in appreciation of all I've enjoyed in this wonderful city of Vancouver. Your fellowship has been to me an inspiration, a comfort and a cheer. I'd like to leave a word of encouragement with you before I possibly see you for the last time in the will of God. I see the Lord Jesus here as the conqueror of death. Verses 1 to 12. For in relation to these saints, Christ in the heart, these women went to the sepulchre that day, because they had affection for the Lord, they had allegiance to the Lord, they had admired the Lord, they had appreciated the Lord, and they wanted to see him. Christ in the heart, the indwelling Christ. Then is the companion on the highway, verses 12 to 24. And these lovely words are penned, and Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Where are the apostles? Where are all the others? These saints are lost and lonely. But at the psychological moment of their deepest need, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. That's Christ on the highway. That's the interested Christ. He understood their need. He would undertake for them. And so he traveled with them and talked to them that day and chased away the clouds and chased away their fear and their anxiety. Then I see in verses 25 to 28, Christ in the Holy Scriptures. There I see him as the incomparable Christ, the communicator of divine truth. And beginning at Moses and all the Scriptures, he expounded unto them things concerning himself. Then I see Christ in the home. They constrained him and he went in to tarry with them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. That's the illuminating Christ. He opened their eyes and they knew him. And then it's the center of the house of God. As seen here in verses 36 to 45. And there I see him as the instructing Christ. He reminded them as he showed them his hands, it is I myself. But reminded as he stood in their midst, verse 36 says, he said unto them, peace be unto you. Christ in the house of God, the instructing Christ. Then verses 46 to 50, I see Christ and his heavenly servants, those whom he'll send forth to preach the gospel. And there he is, I see him as the commissioner of his servants. And there he is, the inspiring Christ. The revelation of himself, the communication of his truth, the direction for their service gave them inspiration. And they went out to declare the gospel and present the Lord Jesus Christ to perishing souls. The last picture is Christ in heaven. And thank God he's there as the interceding Christ. The captivating object of our hearts. The road to Emmaus. I call this the road of glad surprise. In their discussion, Christ appeared. In their depression, Christ assured. And in their dwelling, Christ abode, the interested Christ. Think of these two saints, perhaps man and wife. Here's life's sorrowful pilgrimage. The events of the last day have broken their hearts and blasted their hopes. They've 8 miles to travel home. They've nothing to speak about but all about him. Oh, that we might develop on the highway of life to speak about the man Christ Jesus and not about one another. The curse of our assemblies today, evil speak. My brother, my sister, in my Lord's name can I beg of you to speak well of one another. And above all, like those in Malachi, they that love the Lord speak often one to another. And I believe they speak about him. But as they traveled and as they talked, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Is this the road of glad surprise? They were surprised with the events of that day, but they were surprised by the intrusion of Christ into their lives. He drew near and he passed them by. Now we heard that from the book of Obadiah. And that's what the religious leaders did in Luke chapter 10. The Samaritan drew near and ministered to the dying man everything he needed. And the Lord Jesus drew near and went with them. Are you on the highway of sorrow today? Are you burdened about your family? Have you shed tears to think of men and women not blessed and saved? I went home last night and broke my heart that after such searching messages, nothing seemed to be accomplished. And in the hour of their deepest need, he drew near and went with them. I will never leave thee, the Weymouth translates, I will never, never let go thy hand. So here's the interested, sympathetic high priest. For here I see the priestly sympathy of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came. He cares. He was concerned about their need. And as he looked at their burdened faces, he said, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? These last three words literally translated mean, you'll never smile again. Have you often felt like that? You think life's not worthwhile? Preacher's not living in paradise, you know. We're only human flesh and blood like yourself. We have to travel the highway and sometimes the hard way. For God to give us a little sympathy for saints in deep need and sorrow, in unemployment, misunderstood or misrepresented. May we draw near to them and minister Christ to their hearts, their burdened faces. And the answer, now thou only a stranger here, and you don't know the things that have happened. How true that was, it was only a stranger. What a testimony they gave. They didn't know who this man was, it might have been an enemy. But they spake well of the Lord Jesus, of all that he began to do and teach. They spoke about the character of Christ. They spoke about the conduct of Christ. They spoke about the crucifixion of Christ. And they witnessed a good confession that day to the Lord Jesus, and that must have cheered his heart on that morning of resurrection. Despondency, discussion, depression, but thank God, discovery. They discovered this man loved them. He would travel with them. He would talk to them. He would live in their home, chase away the gloom, wipe away their tears, and fill their hearts with gladness. And think of their broken hearts in verse 21. Their blinded minds, their blasted hopes. We trusted that it had been he that should have redeemed Israel. Your hope's been blasted last week, my brother, my sister. You feeling life hard? Here's a man who listens, and the priest who loves. And they lead them to the scriptures, and direct them to himself, and so captivate their hearts and chase away the gloom. I know of nothing. I've had my share of sorrow and sickness over the last 62 years of my service, that the Lord Jesus has been very real, and has been very near, that has sustained me and gladdened my heart. What does he do? He chastises them. And then he says, O foolish ones, to believe after all that the prophets have spoken. So he takes them to the scriptures, and he expounded unto them things concerning himself. In the Pentateuch, Christ typified. In the Psalms, Christ vivified. In the prophets, Christ prophesied. In the Gospels, Christ crucified. In the Acts, Christ magnified. In the Epistles, Christ glorified. And in the book of the Revelation, thank God, he will be satisfied when he sees of the travail of his soul. So he listened to their story, he looked into their sorrow, and he led them to the scriptures. Been my joy over many, many years to visit dear brothers and sisters beneath. Many a time I've only stood and wept. I could not pray, I could not read. But I simply held their hand, and as we wept together, Jesus himself drew near and filled that hole. So here's the revelation of himself. to keep traveling, from nearing the home, and this constrained him. And he went in to tarry with them. The road of glad surprise. Surprised by his companionship. Surprised by his care. Surprised by the communication of truth. And surprised by his courtesy in the home. And he went in to tarry with them. And it was made known unto them in the breaking of bread. The priestly spirituality is open to Scripture. The priestly skill as he was in their home and his priestly strength, their eyes were open and they knew him. What their experience? They had broken hearts, they had burdened hearts. Before he left, he had burning hearts. Did not our heart burn within us? For it talked to us by the way, it opened unto us the Scriptures. My heart is burdened this weekend, as the Lord's servants have opened unto us the Scriptures, and we've seen the Lord. Young man, young lady, I beg of you today, keep near the book, keep on bended knee, and God will bless you in the home, in any sphere of business, and in any service you undertake for him, he's the abiding, he's the assuring, he's the affectionate Christ. And he made their hearts to burn as he opened to them the Scriptures. Passing on swiftly, verse 49, I see him as the Son of the Father. He's better than Isaac, and he's better than Joseph. He led them out as far as to Bethany. Here he is as the leader, and thank God he's better than Joshua. Moses led them out, Joshua led them out in. He's bringing many sons unto glory. And as he gives an account of his stewardship to his father, he says, none of them is lost, but the son of tradition. Tradition that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Better than Moses and Aaron in his mediatorship. Here's the priestly benediction of Numbers 6, 23 to 26. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. He led them out to the place of satisfaction, to Bethany. Bethany is a lovely illustration of a Christian assembly. He led them out to the place of benediction. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. So here's the priest in his blessing. He lifts up his hands and he blesses them. And then it says, he departed from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him. He left them with unspeakable joy. With an unsettled or an unfulfilled life. So he'll leave them here to serve and to witness for them, for him. And it says that they're continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Is all Jesus interested? Does he draw near? Does he travel with us? In Hebrews 2, he takes me by the hand, he layeth hold of the seed of Abraham. But in Hebrews 13 he says, I will never, never let go thy hand. I need not remind you what a good handshake means to you. When there's the warmth of reality and sincerity in the brother or sister who shakes your hand. It's the only statement in the English language that can read backwards and have a better meaning. Thee forsake all, thee leave, never, never will I. It was given to Moses and were not all leaders. It was given to Joshua and were not all soldiers. But it was given to crooked Jacob and were often there. And to these bereaved, dispossessed saints, no longer able to go to the temple, possibly lost all their possessions, that not yet resisted unto blood. Here is the one who said, I will never leave thee. I will never let go thy hand. Maybe know the priestly, personal, permanent presence of the man Christ Jesus. He lifts his hands upon us and bless us. Give us joy. Give us peace. And stand for the highway. May the blessing of God rest upon you.